Well, after Vanuatu's record-breaking, history-making, thrilling victory against Zimbabwe that everyone's so excited about, we're very happy to have Tim Cutler on the show, Emerging Cricket co-founder, but of course, more importantly, Vanuatu CEO. Welcome in, Tim.
Thank you, Nicholas. I'm feeling every part the guest. I forgot my microphone, so I've got my mobile phone propped up against a water bottle with a neoprene laptop cover below it, so it doesn't get too much reverb and echo around the place. And you're recording it from your end, so I guess I should say, yeah, thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, well, it's been a little while. You've been a very busy guy, and I guess part of that we can talk about the victory in a sec, but the celebrations and the reactions from everyone who's been following Vanuatu, you know, from the crowdfunding to this, I mean, it's pretty special, isn't it, to go from having to, you know, scrounge together a few dollars to buy kits and then beating a full member in Zimbabwe. How's the group taking it, and how have been the celebrations?
Well, I think that the overriding word is emotional. Even as I posted just before going to sleep last night, for me, it does really ram home the reason why some of us are silly enough to be in sports admin when you can have moments like this. That's the human factor of it all. Yep, winning in games is all well and good, but to actually just see the effect that it has on the people involved in it is what makes it all worthwhile. But yeah, the reaction's been immense, and it's a thanks from me and everybody, for everyone that put in their pocket, including yourself, to help to get that kit into the players' hands. We've had messages from around the world. I think I've had over a dozen CEOs of nations, full member and associates, so current and past CEOs, pass through congratulations.
Wow.
I don't think anyone can open up their feeds without seeing a post about it. It seems to have broken the sort of the full member barrier to get through. And although, you know, some of the titles are getting more like Emerging Cricket and they're posting more about associate stuff, it's great to see people noticing the achievement, and then from the celebrations, look, bar some singing on the bus on the way back to the hotel, because it's a night game and because there's another game in 2 days' time, the celebration was really muted, and knowing that there's a job to do, because I think now there might be a dare to dream, a dare to believe feeling that may not have been there, or at least wasn't as burning as bright in the players, to know that in 2 days' time, or now tomorrow, sitting here on Friday in Abu Dhabi, it's another game day, and it's the Netherlands up next.
Yeah, I mean, I was I'm very happy to look very silly after my predictions, thinking, you know, writing off Vanuatu basically, and thinking, well, you know, the only team they really have a chance of beating is the Netherlands. But yeah, I mean, sort of winding the clock back a little bit, you know, the whole build up. Yes, we had the crowdfunding, and that was great, but we also, I mean, the team getting to the UAE was a bit of a story with some flight delays and whatnot. So, I mean, how did that all go down in terms of the preparation? Because surely that's not ideal for, you know, warming up for a tournament.
Well, Nick, I'm sure you're okay being wrong about that. If you're happy, if you're ever going to be wrong about something,
yes.
I'm sure you're happy. You're happy that
happiest
it was this.
I've ever been wrong.
It's kind of like tipping against the Sharks, I think, for me, and then the Sharks win. You know, you win either way. Look, the build up to this, and I know we talked a lot about the great support of having iComply as a partner, and that 8 of the 15 of the squad have been able to play and train alongside seasonal work, but it's not a perfect build-up. They're not playing the levels of cricket that you'd like them to, and having enough focus. We don't have a full-time coach there, et cetera, et cetera. So that build-up, you know, is a story in itself, but being a little bit more recent, you know, with the weather that happened here in the Gulf, getting a year of rain in one day, that played havoc with everything transport-wise here, including Emirates. I think for the first time ever, a plane did not land at the airport in Dubai, which I'm assuming we'll get a lot of head scratching and maybe the engineers working trying to find solutions here, because it's not a place made to handle rainfall. But what that meant is that with the team, half the team flying in from Port Vila to Brisbane and then the other half busing up from Stanthorpe to Brisbane, and what was initially going to be a really smooth trip, or as planned, saw the Vila group come in and only be in Brisbane for a few hours landing at 5 o'clock in the evening, and then the Stanthorpe group coming up and meeting and joining, and then flying out at 9 p.m. on Emirates to Dubai. However, that flight, from an email I got at 4:45 in the morning of that day, had been cancelled because the plane was not coming from Dubai.
Love those emails from the airline.
Yeah, exactly. Just as well as reading emails, huh? No phone calls or anything. But look, normally it's emails or no emails from Air Vanuatu telling us the flight's been cancelled. So at least it's a different one. So I don't think I got a couple of micro naps that day, but from getting a message to our amazing travel agent, and I'm going to give a shout out, Katie from Flight Biz in Sydney. And they give us nothing to say this, but if you ever need a travel agent, please look up Flight Biz, because Katie's amazing. And she was able to get all 20 of us onto the flight that was supposed to leave at 1:55 a.m., which in the end, I guess there's more to that story as well. But so as soon as that flight changed, that meant that the team coming in from Vila was going to be in Australia for longer than 8 hours, which then meant that previously we did not need to apply for transit visas, but because it was more than 8 hours, just only 15 minutes over or something from memory, we had to apply. So that meant it was like activation mode. And then luckily, a good friend of mine's recently moved to Port Vila to look after the visa team in the Aussie High Commission, and they were able to fast track all of those applications, which, well, I hate to think what would have happened if that office hadn't have opened in Port Vila and had to be bouncing between Fiji and Canberra, etc. So that was just it was just amazing with everyone working together. Stressful is not the right word, because everybody had jobs to do, but for all the pieces to get together and having visas literally approved as people were lining up to check in, meant
Oh,
for
dear.
a what was supposed to be a relaxing day with an asterisk of travel to get through with little changeovers, a really long day. So that meant that half the team had a 9-hour wait in Brisbane. All visas got approved, thankfully. The Stanthorpe group came up. I'd already been in Brisbane. I met Chris, flown up from Melbourne as well. So it all got together. And then that 1:55 a.m. flight was delayed until almost, I think it was about 3:30 a.m. in the end before it took off. So by the time we landed in Dubai, we then had a 3-hour bus ride to Abu Dhabi. And that was a day we're supposed to be training, and then with them that practice game the day after. So it was quite a story in itself. I think I was I think it might have been Rod, actually, that I'm going to, as in I can fly, that leaned over and may have shown me the phone number of a certain New Zealand stroke Australian actor who's been in a couple of films about war and exploration and one or two things, and may own a rugby league team, and said, should I call him now about the story of this? Because I think there are chapters of this story that are already like a TV or movie worthy. So that was just us getting here in the first place. So yeah, that was that first day we got here in the early afternoon. And then the next day was when we had our first practice game against Uganda.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I mean, seeing that first practice game against Uganda, they seemed kind of out of sorts. You sort of think, well, if Uganda are putting up 120 against Vanuatu, with Uganda's batting being such an issue, and Vanuatu's bowling probably being their strong suit, well, what does that mean? And then there was the warm up against Sri Lanka, which, I mean, obviously Sri Lanka are a great team, but yeah, that you started to think, well, this disruption, yeah, it's not looking good for Vanuatu. But you managed to still get a good build up in, still got on the park. I guess that makes a big difference. Just getting, rolling your arm over, hitting some balls, all that stuff. With the warm up games, alongside that, what else was there to get acclimatized to the conditions? Because it's a very short build up to be playing one, well, the most important tournament in the Vanuatu women's careers, probably.
Well, bigger than that, I'd go as far to say it's the biggest tournament that any Vanuatu senior sports team has ever been in. Our boys under 20s made a FIFA Youth World Cup back in 2017, and our men, of course, were in the T20 World Cup regional qualifier in July, which would have given direct qualification. But in terms of the teams that we're playing against, and it being a, well, as ICC term it, a special event, that when it comes to bowling, action, adjudication, etc., I think it's treated the same way as a World Cup. I'd say it's Vanuatu's biggest ever team event. And yes, we've got bronze medals in Commonwealth Games in beach volleyball, but not technically termed a team event. But yes, look, that build up was of our own design in terms of how long we had in Abu Dhabi. A lot of teams flew in early to play T20Is against each other, and a lot of those were weather affected. But unfortunately, it was just a financial decision for us that we weren't able to do that. We had planned to be in Queensland for a couple of weeks beforehand, but unfortunately, other circumstances dictated that we weren't able to do that. So it was going to be us relying on the work that had been done separately and then us coming together and then relying on the fact that the positive was that, for most ICC events, you arrive and then the next day you have training, and then the next day after that you'll have your first game, or you might have an extra day in this. The mandated days here for the ICC, bearing in mind that we got in a day after that we could have, if you arrive, the next day is the training day. The day after is a warm-up match, and then a day of training, and then another warm-up match. So in that regard, having those 3 days, which was the Uganda game and then a 3-hour training session and in amazing conditions, turf nets, et cetera. In saying that, though, I think we only had two nets, which made it a little bit squeezy. And then having the game against Sri Lanka and then another rest day, which you could have trained if you wanted to, but it was outside what was provided. So you would have had to have paid for buses and access to the nets. So not enough in the kitty for a $2,500 training session, as Chris described it to me. So how did we adjust? Yeah, I think scratchy is probably a good way to describe us against Uganda. It was likened to a pre-season trial practice match, and I agreed with that observation 100%. And it was, I have to say, now looking back in the light of this amazing performance, that I was a little bit taken aback as to how rough some of the players looked, the skills that we know they have, but how it was actually going on the field. But again, I'm lucky to have traveled all around the world and lots of long haul flights and hotel rooms. And I guess my body has adjusted to that. The reality is that within the team, there's only Selena that I think has been on that kind of long haul flight for a sporting event. And I don't think many, I know a few of them have never been on planes, and I don't think any have been in the situation before. So looking back on it and seeing how they've built from the Uganda game to the training session to even Sri Lanka should show that it's been a real steady growth. And then it's also the way that they just absorb knowledge and they learn about the game anyway. They do it so well. And Chris Lappin and Josh Razu, high performance manager and women's coach respectively, were doing a presentation before the Zimbabwe game, and they put up a picture of SpongeBob SquarePants, and they're saying that's how they liken all the players to, because they just absorb so much. And to see, I think the real change for me was the Sri Lanka game, and we haven't posted about it yet, but not only did Sri Lanka want to keep playing despite what they've just come out of long tour wise, but they've now just also shared their analyst video of our match against them to help us, and which I think is an amazing token of generosity from them, considering that they've just seen us beat a full member, the one of the highest ranked teams on the other side of the draw, which could mean that if we keep winning, there is a possibility that we come up against Sri Lanka in a do or die semi-final. So that's amazing. But it was that part of the game where, it's after we'd lost, but Sri Lanka were playing it like a real game. And for us to take 6 for 36 in the 9-0s we played against them, I think gave everybody belief in the talent and skills that they know they have, but actually put out there against some of the best in the world. And I think we saw that translate into what we saw last night against Zimbabwe.
Yeah, and I guess the fact that they were kind of working out the cobwebs and yeah, I mean the long haul flights are unpleasant at the best of times. So yeah, with that kind of rigmarole just to get on the field, yeah, kind of been fun. But so you've acclimatized to the conditions sort of, but the first match is under lights, and I think you said that only about half the team has played under lights at all, and that was the Stanthorpe contingent who played sort of a couple of club games under lights. But that kind of been the same as a top class venue like the Sheikh Zayed under lights.
No, and yeah, I don't think Stanthorpe Cricket Ground, as great as it was and to have lights good enough to play, is anything like that. So yes, that crew that was in Queensland, 8 of them played in a combined Vanthorpe. I think they call that team when they played against a local rep team. So it was a combination of the boys and the girls that were there. Only Selena has played under the lights in the Gulf when she was here with Fairbreak back in 2022, early 2022, I'll say, in Dubai. And she took two, oh, so three catches in one game under lights at the Dubai Stadium. So, yeah, that's the sum total of our players' experience under lights. And I think that was the only time they played under lights in Stanthorpe, before or after. I don't think there's been anything since being in a field with lights. So, yes, I did see the Cricket Info article about Zimbabwe mentioning something about lights only just being installed in Harare. So, I'd look, if that might have been a factor for them, but geez, being a factor for Vanuatu, especially batting second. So, there's zero natural light out there, and it's all artificial, and we've all heard many players talk about the difference of fielding and especially batting under lights and getting your bearings. So I think that just adds to how impressive yesterday's performance was.
Yeah, and I mean the lights and the dew factor, which I'm not sure that they would have had much experience with that either in Vanuatu. I guess, having watched the game and seeing them play, it was like they'd done this before, and it was no big deal. It was just an amazing performance, especially I think very pleasing to see Nasimana Navaika 4 for 13 from her 4 overs, also top scored in the chase, by the way, extracting a lot of turn and looking really good. And then also Vanessa Vera, who's pretty new to the team. I think she started a year or two ago, and she's still very young. She looked very good as well with the ball. So, the dynamic spin duo really seem to be having a good time out there on these tracks. You don't see that happening with the the Syntho over in Vanuatu with them bowling there. So I guess the spinners are having fun here.
Yes, yeah, Nasimana, or Nice, as she's sort of known amongst the team. Again, it's because she's. So I heard Selena on an ABC interview talk about how humble and quiet Nice is, and it's always tough when you know the person and what they really like versus the kind of persona when they're out there. But because she's so quiet and just gets on with it out in the field, you sort of don't notice. But she has been around the team for a while, and they're sort of younger than you think. But the amazing that she's come back from having her first child sort of a year and a half ago or 2 years ago now to be in the condition she is. And yeah, that was just amazing from her. And spinners of the world like myself, I'm sure, were watching, and to see Nice do batters turning into the right-hander, getting them out that way, but then bowling out of the front of the hand, which is somewhere from a Karen ball to a kind of a Zouter kind of front, to do the left-hander through the gate to bowl was just world class. And well, Vanessa Vera has just turned 17, and to see always smiling. Even the first caught behind off the first over, she only just kind of looked around at the umpire and politely smiled and said, "How's that?" And then Sean Haggart was at that end from New Zealand, gave it out. And you always want to see good umpiring like that when they actually give it out on the strength of the actual situation, not the appeal, because I don't think you would have given it out on the strength of the appeal. But and again, to see the wickets that the Vanessa took later in the innings, turning in to bowl a right-hander through the gate, and then just for me, being a kind of left, like an ortho against a right-hander, for her against a left-hander, to see bowling the number 11, off bail, and then just this little, the way she does it, spins on her heel and gives Selena a hug, and there's no kind of big fanfare about it. But yes, those conditions, I think, on the synthetic, you kind of see spinners more in a holding situation where they're bowling straight and making players sort of do something different. But to be a lot more attacking, I think, has just opened another dimension for our bowling attack, and then I think by extension, sort of all spinners here. But I think the difference is that our spinners aren't used to bowling on this, so to see how they've been able to change and develop within the third game of Wanotha Vanessa. She'd never played on turf before going to Auckland earlier this year, but I think there's more turn for them here. So that's really exciting for me to see. And I know that the likes of the Irish contingent that were up in the box with us watching, also the Dutch and the UAE teams are going to be thinking, well, how do we counteract these two bowlers, especially because from a Nice point of view, I don't know when she's bowling an off spin or the one out the front, and I get to see her bowl a lot. So if they can find any triggers, then good luck to them.
Well, and I know you're always enthusiastic to see spin bowlers doing well, but it wasn't just the spinners. Rachel Andrew with searing Yorkers on a hat trick. That was pretty good to see. I mean, she's, I don't know, has she picked up a little bit of pace? Or maybe I'm just sort of seeing her with fresh eyes because the broadcast quality is a bit better.
That was the moment that turned the game, really. They'd lost a wicket, but Zimbabwe sort of won for 30-odd at that time and looking fairly comfortable. And Rachel had been a bit shaky in the first over, and then for her to come back and bowl the fifth. And that were the first two balls of the over. And honestly, she looked like a completely different bowler, that first ball of her second over to the whole first over that she bowled. And yes, different pace, just seemed to have a different action and fluidity throughout her entire run up and through the crease. And yeah, you've seen the replay. I think Bert has probably legally clipped one of them that I'm sure get a slap on the hand for that first wicket that swung back through the gate. And I don't know if there are many left-handers in the world with it swinging like that that would have been able to play it any differently. And then the searing Yorker, as you said, with the Well, I think that was also full as well. But then the Yorker that they got the right-hander out the next ball. And then the hat-trick ball as well was there and thereabouts that the batter only just got the
Yeah,
blade
big
down
ooze
onto
everywhere.
it. So that moment went from 1 for 30 to 2 for 30, or sorry, 3 for 30, I should say. And I think, well, from that moment on, they went from 1 for 30 to all out for 61. So, the numbers sort of tell the story there. But that was the moment that turned the game. Selena bowled only the one over, bowling the third. And then, for Rachel to complete her spell, and then Vanessa Nice as mentioned, but also Vicky Mansali is another one that deserves a shout out for her spell as well. Someone that had bowled quick but changed to spin because of issues with the action. Again, 21 years old, and that again was one of those situations where as a batting team, you're like, well, who do we target? Who can we take advantage of? And you think, well, there's that bowler bowling. Well, maybe it'll be the next one. But Vicky gave them nothing as well.
Yeah, and seeing, Zimbabwe bowled out in the 13th or 14th over, I think, for 61. You looking at that score, you're thinking that's very gettable, right? So now, how's the mood in the dressing room at the change of innings?
Don't ask me. I was up in the quote unquote royal box just watching down, thinking I'm glad I'm not down there having to put my pads on. But you know what? I did notice something watching from, the 30 meters away or so is that how relaxed everybody was, which was so impressive. Like, I think the weight, I don't know whether it was blissful, youthful ignorance or a concerted effort not to think about it. Whatever it was, it worked. And 61, even if they'd got to 80, 90, that every run is so important in an international game, no more so than when there's so much on the line. But we know how important runs on the board are. But yeah, I think from that point, I thought, well, A, I'm going to try not have a heart attack watching this, and I try to relax and watch it. But I thought this is just an opportunity for Rachel and Valenta, especially, to go out and just bat. There is no scoreboard pressure here. You bat for 20 overs, you will win the game. And that was, I saw a calmness when they went out there as well. In terms, although there were some silly wickets with Rachel trying to play a big drive first ball against a left arm spinner. And then Selena got a little bit bogged down, and then kind of Valenta fishing outside the off stump twice in a row, being dropped one ball and caught the next. There's still so much room for improvement, but there was no panic. And also, where sometimes we see panic materializing is the running between wickets. But again, that was so much better, and it still there is so much room for improvement, which is really the exciting bit. It wasn't like the performance that we just saw was the best you'll ever see from a Vanuatu team. There's still so much room, even within the players that we have at the moment in the stage of their development, which for me bodes really well. And you know what? We may not win another game, but if we can go out and with the attitude that we did last night for the next three games, and who knows for what else, look, it's just a win. And as Selena has said in her post-match, or the post-match interview, this is all about experience and learning, and then seeing what comes along the way. And I think there could be something really exciting that comes along the way with these people and the way that they're led by Chris and by Josh. You never know what could happen.
Yeah, and I guess just on that point about room for improvement. Yeah, a few of the players got a little bit bogged down. Although, again, when you're chasing 60 odd, you can afford to take your time. I don't know. I just kind of So a couple of the boundaries Valentin Langeartu hit, and even Selena Solomon, it seemed like they weren't too fazed by the extra pace of the Zimbabwe bowlers, who, when Zimbabwe kind of go down to African regional stuff, they're often basically bullying the kind of weaker associate teams. And it was encouraging that, Valento seemed to be enjoying the pace on the ball from someone like a Nomvelo Sibanda, and, got a couple away. So that looked encouraging, right?
Yes, and I actually think it's a huge benefit for our team and the way they play is that the quicker bowlers on wickets as good as this is only a benefit. And we saw more runs scored square of the wicket. I think that I've or a percentage of the runs scored square of the wicket than I've ever seen. And I think that's probably something that needs to be looked at about how we can expand our scoring options about going straight. Because normally I would say the strength of our players, especially the likes of Rachel and Valenta, is straight. But the fact that they're able to use this pace to be hitting square and behind square, it's great. It's just how they complete that. But yeah, it was definitely no bullying whatsoever with the extra pace. And it was almost like this new element opened up. So I just hope that we can put the sort of all the pieces together to get a complete performance from the batters where they're hitting straight as well, and teams aren't able to maneuver those four players only that are outside the circle to sort of be protecting the square boundaries only. And it was really when the players had to make their own pace was when they looked like they were perhaps struggling a little bit more. And I take your point about it being that little bit slower, chasing only 61, and talking to Chris, I know that was something he was concerned about, the sheer weight of dot balls in that. And really, it should have been done a lot quicker with a lot more of the work that they have been doing about working the ball around and getting that strike changing over more often. They did it from time to time, but not enough. But yeah, so I think that, up to a certain level anyway, the pace on the ball is definitely an advantage for our batters.
Yeah, I mean, Kelis and Lovu, very good spell there as well. Obviously, they're sort of star spin bowler. But yeah, I mean, just a fantastic result. And I guess one maybe question mark is that a lot of the time in these sorts of tournaments, when, an associate beats a full member, and if it happens on the first day, then it's kind of like, well, how do you back up from that? And, do they just sort of fade throughout the rest of the tournament? So what's going in to try and prevent that from happening over the course of the rest of the campaign for Vanuatu?
Well, since this is the first time that any Vanuatu teams come up against full members in a tournament like this, it's tough to kind of give any history-based prediction. I can only go back to exactly what happened in September last year in the qualifier in Port Vila, when the biggest win up until last night anyway of the country's sporting history, when Vanuatu beat PNG, who were ranked 11 and are still ranked 11th at the time, which was the biggest kind of rating disparity that many of us can remember in terms of upsets there. And the challenge was, we've just had the win of our lives. How do we go on and win the remaining five games, including against the 20th ranked team being Indonesia? And are we going to lose our bundle after having such a huge win? And they were able to go on and do that in front of their home crowds, in front of their family, including a little. Well, it was a big wobble against Indonesia with some suicidal running that left us sort of 4 for 30 and saw Alvina Chilia play a match winning knock to get us back to a defendable total. I can only go back to that and put that same situation on them in that they don't have the same pressure here, that the families aren't there watching, and they're playing, coming up against teams that they don't know. So in some degree, some respect, I think it could actually be an advantage because they're not coming up against players that they're kind of smiling and saying hi to, and potentially getting distracted. There's very few of the players that will know each other, bar those that have been involved in fair breaks. So I just hope they channel the same energy and drive that they did back in September for these next three group games, then hopefully for a semi-final and a final.
Well, yeah, as you were saying before, dare to dream. I think Vanuatu has, well, I mean, it's not like they were short of fans already, but I'm sure they've accumulated a few more around the world after this performance. And I mean, obviously here at Emerging Cricket, we're 100% on the Vanuatu bandwagon already. But yes, thanks for joining us, Tim, taking some time out of your no doubt busy day off, sitting in your hotel room. And we look forward to hearing more from you and hopefully seeing more exciting results from Vanuatu.
Thank you very much. Now, you made it sound like I'm just sitting here kind of like picking my toenails or something. But yes, no, there's a lot going on, and it's all amazing things that are going on. Lots of people want to know more about us, so trying to line up interviews. And I think Selena's probably the most wanted interview subject at the moment that I've known of for a while. It's also Gillian Chillier's 19th birthday today, so she's here with her
Happy
sister
birthday.
Alvina, and she wanted to go to the local mall and some gamey thing that kids do these days. Back in our day, actually, we did exactly the same thing back when Tilt was open at Miranda Fair. Yes, but no, great to chat, and as always, Nick, keep up the great work.